Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with you.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Norel Toyota. We support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and that's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norel Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
For sure. I'm Shayla Williams. I'm from Discovery Keys Music. We're a music school local to Fort McMurray. We offer piano, voice, guitar. I'm trying to remember everything. Piano, voice, guitar, ukulele, violin, and we also have art classes.
What about harmonica?
Don't have harmonica. And my husband keeps trying to push for accordion. He's like, you should do accordion. I'm like, no. Yeah.
Okay, well, before I get selfish on my own topics, how did this all start? Where are you located? How can people find out about you and your school? Let's hear all about that.
How long of a story?
Well, we got 20 minutes. So
we're located on Manning Avenue, 9919 Manning Avenue, two doors down from Mitchell's Cafe. Yeah, it's literally a space that, like, everyone has seen, but no one pays attention to because it's been empty for so long. Okay. We just moved into it, and then people drive by. They're like, oh, that space was, like, right next to the car wash. And it's been I'm really happy we're there. I'm really happy we're actually finally there. We've been renovating the space for almost a year now.
Thanks for supporting downtown.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of criticism when I, well, not criticism, skepticism, because I live in Timberley, so that's where everything kind of was, where I was teaching out of, and like a couple of my teachers were teaching from the house, and I just was growing too fast, and I said, I'm going to go downtown, and a lot of my friends were like, oh, it's so sketchy downtown. Like, I grew up in Vancouver. Yeah. So I was like, yeah. I don't think you know what sketchy necessarily is. I guess you're right. Downtown can have its own issues, but we did have a break-in a few weeks ago, which was devastating. All my contractor's tools were stolen. My guitar was stolen. I was so sad about that. But, I mean, that's the nature of running a business and commercial. I don't think it has anything to do with downtown. I think it's just when you have a business, thieves are going to go to a business, right?
And I don't even think it's the business. I think it was the fact you had contractors in there.
And that's just, and not just that, but we happened that week, the church across the street got broken into 2 days later. And then there's a few other instances that have happened. So I'm like, I feel like, and now there's been nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like it sucks, but that's the reality of owning a business. That's why you need insurance and cameras and all those fun things, right? But I am still very like, I had a really good feeling about moving downtown, and I don't regret my decision.
Yeah.
Our landlords gave us a place to stay. They own the glass building across the street from the municipal buildings, like right next to the subway.
Oh, yes, on the corner.
No, the one that's like, there's a Quran restaurant, yes. There's a subway, and there's a glass building between them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
So that was, our landlords own that building, and they also own the building we're in.
Nice.
And they offered us a space to use while we renovated, so I was like, I can't.
Oh, that's huge.
It was really fantastic, so that kind of helped us get established downtown, and then I started, of course, rolling with ideas of what else I wanted to do, and so it's been nothing but positive. I'm very thankful we moved downtown. And my teachers now keep joking, half joking. So when's the expansion happening? And I'm like, let's just get everything settled here first.
That's right.
But when we moved to Fort McMurray 6 years ago, my husband and I moved from my husband's work. He's a massage therapist. And I said, I'm not going to teach. Our oldest, was 10 months old at the time. I was like, I'm not going to teach. I'm going to take time off. And my husband was like, okay. Sure. That's me. That lasted like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, cause I just was, I need to be doing things, and started teaching, and have you heard of KP Squared?
Yes.
Yeah. So Kyla, the owner, I actually taught her daughter.
Okay.
And then after a couple of years of living here, I got a random call from her one day, and she was like, hey, how would you feel opening a music school in my daycare? And I didn't have any concept of what she was doing, cause I knew she ran like a day home. I didn't And so in my, like, naive mind, I was like, yeah, I could totally, like, take on another teacher and, like, you know, we could run a little music school out of your daycare. And now we're at 13 teachers and almost 250 students. Yeah,
I'm gonna manage instead.
Exactly. Yeah. And we didn't, due to just different things with timing and situations and locations, we're not in the same space which we'd originally planned, but I still run like music programs out of it's hard to sign your kids up for lessons, but if they're with KP, they're able to like register with us for lessons, and then there's ways to get them from daycare to music and then back again.
Shout out Kids Drop too.
I was just dude. Actually, you and everything's downtown. Exactly. It's nice. It's quick. You literally, and we're downtown too, by the way.
Yes.
We love downtown. But like, you are definitely part of the revitalization of the downtown core. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and it wasn't. Thing to do as a business owner, but so far it hasn't led me astray.
It's the only way you become successful.
Exactly. And so my gut was, you know what, everyone's saying it's a bad idea, but go downtown. And I'm so thankful I did, because now there's been so many other things. So my dad was actually my teacher.
Okay.
My dad taught piano when I was a kid. I started learning when I was 3, mm-hmm. and I'm the oldest of 5, and I was the only one that my parents forced to stay. Like the worst students.
Okay.
My poor father, I would enraged, throw books across the room, pound on the piano. My family always knew whenever I was frustrated with something, because I would start pounding on the piano and just, And so when people are like, oh, my kids, they love coming to lessons, but they're not always practicing. I'm like, oh, gee, I wonder what that was like. That was literally me as a student. I stuck with it. And then when I was about 15, my dad and I have very similar personalities. So we definitely clashed a lot more than usual.
I feel that.
Now, I call my dad up all the time. Like, we have a great relationship. And, mm-hmm. you know, he gets the music thing. So I can call him, like, Dad, like, you know. It definitely was a struggle. And then I got a new teacher, and that definitely helped. And then when I graduated high school, I wasn't sure if I actually really wanted to can finish. By that point, I finished my grade 9 RCM. There's 10 grades in the Royal Conservatory of Canada.
Okay.
As well as your ARCT, which is like an associate's diploma. But I graduated, wasn't really sure if I actually wanted to continue with it. And then moved away for a year, and then met my husband, got married, and started getting, I was like, well, my husband's going to school at this point now. So I was like, well, I'll maybe start teaching on the side again, because I taught through high school as well. And then decided to go back and finish my grade 10 and get my ARCT, and then it's kind of just gone from there. Training. I've done a different program training as well for different methods and styles of teaching and whatnot. So, yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at. Nice. You never know where life's going to take you.
You really don't, you know? Yeah. I look back at, I was going to go into fashion design when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I loved fashion design. I loved sewing. I loved, you know, all that kind of stuff. And here I am, but I was not a good student. I really struggled with school. I love to learn.
Yeah.
I love to learn, but I've always struggled with exams and things like that. And
execution. So,
yes. And looking back now, my mom's like, of my siblings, I'm the only one that has no diagnosis. but all my
subtle brag.
Yeah. But my siblings, we all have ADHD. When my dad was diagnosed with ADHD, the doctor was like, how do you have 2 degrees and how are you married with 5 kids? This isn't normal.
Right.
I'm ADHD, several learning disabilities, all my siblings have. And so now looking at me, my mom's like, I'm realizing you probably have ADHD and this learning disability and this one. And I'm like, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Not if the doctor didn't say
so.
Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. So, but I also feel like that's a strength, because I've done a lot of research on ADHD, And I do have like so many of the factors of it. Yeah. But it's also interesting to be like how ADHD actually affects like test taking. Yeah. And things like that. And I'm like, oh, that makes so sense. Much sense.
You totally. get test anxiety and like all of the information you've learned just deletes out of your brain exactly. when you're looking at the piece of paper.
Yeah, and that's literally me. And so, but you know what, though? I love teaching.
Yeah.
And I love working with kids. And due to that, like we have a lot of kids that come to the studio that have things like ADHD.
Right.
And the parents are like, well, they're, you know, just be aware. They're like, oh, so they're just have more energy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's
like
right.
when you've got a kid or like or if we've got a couple of kids that have some cognitive delays. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll just we have on our like registration form, like is there anything we need to know?
That's right.
And sometimes parents don't fill that out.
Yeah.
And then we find out the teacher starts teaching and they're like,
There's something.
But mm-hmm. when the parent fills it out and lets us know, oh well they have this issue or they have like a speech delay, great. Mm-hmm. Then we can let the teacher know, hey, heads up. Like we've even had things like cystic fibrosis. We've got a couple of kids that have cystic fibrosis.
Yeah.
So we let the teacher know, hey, if you even have a cough, you need to let the family know because this kid could potentially get very ill from your mild cough.
Right.
But it gives us the information to then equip our teachers.
Yeah.
No, okay, or this child has this disability, this learning struggle. Mm-hmm. Here's some things that you as a teacher can do to help them.
Yeah.
So that they can be their best self. And it's also as the teachers, because a lot of my teachers are young. A lot of them are in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's also as them. That forces them to grow as a person, to yeah. be like, okay, I have to now learn. And I find teens, their minds are so, they're sponges, right?
Right,
and
right.
they will take that, hey, it's not criticism. It's me saying, hey, here's some things
yeah.
for you to do to help. And they're like, okay.
That's right.
And then
that's
they right. and then they get the next kid that like will maybe have a milder version of what they've already taught. And they're like, oh, this kid is so easy to teach. Because mm-hmm. they've already,
right.
you know,
right.
so. It's really cool.
That is cool. And then when parents talk about, like, back in the day, like, I'm old, but, like, you wouldn't tell any, you, there was a shame behind, oh, my kid yeah. has this, that, and the
oh,
other.
Yeah.
But now, like you're saying, once you know, then you can change your learning styles up, and then you can have that kid who is struggling with test taking or whatever it may be, accelerate at what they're doing just because you're looking at it from a different lens.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I've got some kids, I was so, for so long, I was, because my background is exams.
Yeah.
It's you do the level, you do the exam, you do the theory. It's very, very structured. Mm-hmm. I've had to personally step back and go, that's not going to work for every kid.
Yeah.
And I had a couple kids where it was, I was like, okay, yeah, let's do exams. Let's push it, push it. And then I started looking the past year or so and being like, you know what? This is not the right route for this kid. And it's mm-hmm. been very challenging for me. Not challenging, a new experience and a learning growth to be like, okay, I have to step back and recognize there's other avenues and that's not a bad thing. It's just different.
There you go.
And it's also helps me grow as a person, right? And as a teacher to be like, hey, now I have to find a different way to make this fun for this kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been good.
That's awesome. Well, listen, Tanner tapped his phone a little while ago. That means he's ready with his segment called the Max City Minute. That being said, before we throw it into that, we need to go to an ad from Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Carrie, take it away.
Hey, everybody. Keith Simpson here from Neural.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
And we are back. Thank you, Carrie. Do appreciate your ongoing support. Tanner, hit her with the Max City Minute.
Alrighty. Question number one. What is your favorite instrument to listen to on your own time?
Ooh. That is a really good question. I think, probably the violin.
Question number two. What has been the most rewarding part of teaching art in this community?
I think it's been, you know what it's been? It's been seeing kids who struggle in other avenues and they come to class and they like excel. Like we've got a few students. I personally have a couple students where at school they are like the trouble kid or like the kid that's struggling or what have you. And they come to class and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like this is like one of my, I love your kid. Like this is one of my star students. I think that is the part that I love when you see this kid who music is their love and because it's my love,
mm-hmm.
that's that's when it comes out and you see that they found a way to express themselves. I think that's been my favorite part.
Cool.
Question number three. What is your favorite song to play when showing somebody your musical skill?
So there's a piece of, there's a composer. She's from the 70s. She was a contemporary musician. Like, no one's heard of her. Her name is Liz Story. And I grew up, my dad playing her music. And there's a piece that she wrote, a version of Greensleeves. It does not sound like Greensleeves just because of the arrangement, but it's my favorite piece to play. It's like my go-to as well if I need to do that. Or Bach. I have a Bach prelude that I really enjoy playing and showing off as well.
What was that name? Sorry, Liz.
Liz Story. L-I-Z and then Story.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ellie, getting that one down?
Yup.
Yeah. She's since passed away. There's not a lot of recordings of her stuff. There's some. Yeah. And she's got a few things on Spotify that, but yeah, I really enjoyed her music. It's very contemporary. Yeah, that's the Greensleeves right there. That's
okay.
The one.
Okay, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
Question number four. What do you think is one fashion trend you would want to come back?
One fashion trend?
Yep.
Ooh.
She paused on that one. Like, so many good ones.
Yeah. No 1950s housewife dresses.
Nice.
Those are just like, but they're so flippin' expensive. But if those came back, I'd be all over those, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
And your final question, what do you think is the best topping or mix-in when you're making ice cream? Those have been your five questions.
Now, when you say strawberries, we're talking real strawberries, strawberry flavor. You're chopping up, you're dicing them, like full. How does this look?
I'd say sliced strawberries.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. What kind of ice cream?
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Yeah. You gotta go vanilla if you're getting toppings.
Yeah. Right. I'm not a fan of like different type. Okay. Here's the thing. So growing up, because I come from a big family.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get special ice cream. You got vanilla ice cream.
Because you would buy it in the 4-liter tub because exactly. It was the cheapest.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember when I was 14, my youngest brother was born, and my grandma took my three middle siblings to Alberta, to Calgary to visit cousins for like a month. It was supposed to be like a week, and then grandma just extended it because my mom was due like end of August, and it was a really stupid hot summer. And so grandma was like, I'm just going to keep the kids out here. I got ice cream, like chocolate ice cream. We were like at the store with my mom, and I was like, Mom, can we get chocolate ice cream? She's gonna say no. She's like, you know what? Yes. And I was like, we get chocolate, and I get it all to myself. I don't have to share it. It was like the best experience ever.
It's a core memory.
Literally. I'm like, but now, but I remember, so we also, I babysat for family friends, and they always had like the novelty ice cream. And the reasoning was because the husband also only ever got vanilla ice cream as a kid. So he's like, I'm an adult. I get to buy whatever the freaking heck I want.
Yeah.
So now as an adult, I do buy whatever the heck. We have like five different flavors at a time in the freezer.
Nice.
We have the traditional vanilla ice cream.
Right.
That the kids can have when they just want like, or also because it goes well with pie and it goes well with cake and stuff like that, right? But the kids know if mommy brings out the good ice cream, they're like,
Yeah.
Or if I've had like a bad day and I had like a bowl of five flavors, my husband's like, I'm just gonna let you be for a little bit.
Just like looks at the ice cream and walks in the other direction. Yes. Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm an adult. I get to buy my own ice cream now.
Yeah. So. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's funny what like you have and don't have in your childhood and how that impacts your life as an adult and your children's life.
Yeah, totally.
Like
your
kids are never going to be like, man, I don't know what ice cream's like. They're just like, I tried it all.
Yeah, literally.
That's a good parenting technique because then when your kid becomes an adult, they don't go to the store and binge every flavor of ice cream as soon as they have the opportunity.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
There's this place in Vancouver, it's called Casa Gelatos, and they have I think it's like over 300 flavors at a time.
Oh, wow.
And so that was one thing we would do every summer is we'd go and you could like go around and sample all the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And so
So you've tried over 300 flavors of ice cream, is what you're telling me?
No, because they literally, like, have, like, they have, like, stinky feet.
Oh.
Like, they have, like, all the really good flavors, yeah. And then they have, like, the most bizarre
like
flavors.
Like, ketchup and stuff.
Yes, yeah, just because, right? And, I mean, it's a novelty experience. My brothers were the ones that always tried those bizarre flavors, but I was like, I'm not going to do that to my taste buds. Thank
that's right.
You.
No,
that's
I have one opportunity for ice cream right now, and I'm going to go with something that's
exactly,
good.
Exactly, exactly, yeah.
Facts. Oh, Tanner just showed me his watch. That means we're out of time.
Okay.
Womp womp. So before we cut you loose, though, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Shameless shout-out or plug. Well, I have to do a shout-out to my husband, massage, beneficial massage therapy. If you need an amazing deep tissue massage that we will hate him for but love him after, that's my husband.
What's your husband's name?
Ben Williams.
We're going to talk after this.
Yes.
I've heard about this dude.
Oh, have you really?
Yes, I have.
That's my husband.
Yeah,
there you
okay.
go.
Okay.
And my other shoutless plug out. Oh, gosh. There's so many good businesses. Drop of Nature, actually. I'm wearing her necklace right now. She is Renata Corridor and herself, and she collects plants and whatnot from around Fort McMurray, and she makes jewelry, and I love her stuff.
Go. Awesome. Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. We do appreciate both of your ongoing support. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
It's so ballistic!
Yeah, you killed that.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.